Welcome to Breeders Syndicate, where we explore the history of a clandestine scene through the eyes of the folks who lived it. I'm Matthew, owner of Riot Seeds. I'll occasionally be joined by my co-host Not-So-Dog, breeder and grower from Mendocino. Welcome to the underground.
You know, the thing about thiols and stuff is how they're volatile.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where terpenes are longer lasting. And I would always notice about the old super skunk that I had, that the last 2 or 3 weeks before harvest and the first month after cutting it, it was just rank.
Yeah.
But if you kept it long enough, even if, and you know, in a nice jar in the dark or whatever, it would eventually just kind of turn into generic green bud.
Did you find that the more it kept its moisture content, the longer it lasted and the more as it evaporated?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. And it was actually kind of tough because it was one of those nugs that you were like, it was famous for like looking dense but weighing light.
Yeah. Yep.
So you'd put this thing that you'd think was like a huge nug and you're like, oh man, this thing's massive. And it's like 2.8 grams.
Yeah.
You know,
sucks.
Cause it just, it had like, but it had really good like air to bud ratio. So it burned really well.
Yeah. Cherry AK is very similar.
You could do snappers of it. Some bud like Kush's especially, and a lot of this cookie shit, you really have to cure it right to get it to burn well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you know, super skunk, you could burn that like pretty quick because it just had like a good amount of air.
It sounds like Denali saved that cut from Panda.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I'm real stoked about that.
So we're up over it. We're 108, 110 people. Maybe we could start chatting.
Yeah. Do you want to answer a few questions first and then maybe it'll get up higher a little bit?
Yeah. I haven't even fucking looked, to be honest. I've just been bullshitting. Someone just asked about mango haze. I could talk about mango haze.
There you go. It's a haze.
Mango haze is like a super nice line from Shanti Baba and Neville. It's NL5 haze by Skunk Haze. It's a sister to Super Silver Haze. And it uses this famous cut called the 122 or the mango, which is like my favorite NL5 haze cut. And it's still alive over there, I think. It's still sold in coffee shops and... Shanti has it apparently. But yeah, it's a little bit more hazy. It's a little like it's got a little bit more of the flavors that I like. It's got less terpenylene than Super Silver Haze. It doesn't tend to yield as much. But it's a super nice plant. And I think it's likely one of the ones where he still has the right parents.
Yeah.
Nobody can say for sure, but I think people still find really nice plants in that line.
Yeah, they do. So, and it's not just there is a clone-only mango haze too, I believe. I don't know if it's from the same seed line, but I know Miami Mango has that one, and it's like a terpenylene and mango. It's one of my faves.
It's like I've seen some tests on it, and its terpene content is pretty off the charts.
Yeah.
It's pretty high.
Yeah.
So that's mango haze. It's kind of mango haze and Super Silver and Neville's haze are kind of like the final three hazes that came out.
Yeah.
At the end of like one whole era, you know? So that's starting at the end, not the beginning. But, you know, let's see. Skunk haze. A lot of people in Europe don't like the skunk hazes quite as much because they felt the skunk aspects kind of overpowered the haze, like the more delicate haze aspects that they liked. That's why they were always kind of looking for like bland indicas to cross it to.
Yeah.
To allow, you know, they kind of wanted like very little terp cuts to blend it to see if the haze terps would come through. So anyway, I don't know. We're going to chat about haze tonight, which is a super controversial subject. So a disclaimer, this is just kind of like our opinion on it and like what we see. In the forum days when things got started, some of the longest running threads ever were arguments between all these old timers over haze. On Cannabis World, on Overgrow, probably on IC Mag. It would just go, sometimes it would go into the hundreds of pages of people battling back and forth over what was the real haze story.
One of my good friends over on Mr. Nice did probably what I think was the best treatise on haze, like overview on haze during that time before anybody else had really been able to track down anyone to talk to. It was my friend Bigger or off Mr. Nice. I see there's someone with that name in here, but I don't think it's the same dude.
It would be awesome if I remember him on Mr. Nice, for sure.
Herb was a cool dude. I haven't seen him in a long time, though. So I don't know if he's still hanging around or what the deal is. But I think it's still up on Mr. Nice. And for the most part, I know it's been considered one of the more accurate histories on it. But there was some stuff we dug up in the past few years. I know Bodie found a book about Santa Cruz, or written in Santa Cruz, and Santa Cruz history. And it actually mentions a few of them by name. And it's one of the first things we found where there were other names in it, you know, full names.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's an aspect where, like, you know, Hayes has a history dating back to like the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
So it's hard enough to decipher stuff that happened 15 or 20 years ago, much less 40. So there's a lot of, forgive me, hazy stuff around the origins of it. And on those threads, there's tons of arguing that's gone on. Yeah. There's tons of arguing. And there's, you know, Sam Skunkman has his version. And, you know, he's posted under different names about things. He claims to have been a neighbor to those guys. But I think what's fairly well accepted is it started out as Colombian by Colombian.
Yeah.
I think we could start there. It was Colombian by Colombian from import weed, and they grew it in greenhouses in Santa Cruz and areas that were mild like that. Because you needed those mild temperatures in order to take it till December or January or whenever the hell it was that they pulled it down.
Yeah.
They hadn't figured out depths or anything like that yet. And so it got pretty famous. Matt has a poster somewhere of it. It got early on, got named and got kind of legendary. You know, it was sold high end in New York, I believe, for, you know, quite a bit at the time.
Yeah.
It was considered like the super connoisseur weed, right?
Yeah.
I would say all this is pretty like standard and not argued about that much.
Yeah, that much it's considered to be correct, I think.
that much is considered. Once you get into like who's responsible for what and what happened when and how and all that, that's where it gets kind of dicey.
Yeah.
But basically what seems like, and there's a lot of stuff where you read online where it'll talk about like it's a Colombian by Indian by Thai by Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sam swears that it's Colo by Colo.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff was added way later and isn't really part of it.
Right? I remember, yeah, he said the Indian was added way later, if at all. I don't remember. Was that his claim or not?
I think he said that the Indian was in there, but it was like it was added as a separate hybrids he offered. And never got mixed in with the, you know, with the core amount of haze. So we always had separate haze.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it really boils down to it or whatever, it just seems like haze was, you know, a mix of Colombian strains or whatever that they got out of seeds from import.
Yeah.
And they got lucky. And admittedly, it doesn't seem like they knew what the hell they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it got pretty famous. And so there's a lot of stories and a lot of mystery between late 60s and mid 80s. There's stories out of Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
There's a series of brothers. They wrote some stuff in high time. Like there's all these various things. And they've been debated ad nauseum other places. So maybe we don't need to like delve into that part because you can find that everywhere. But what is part of it is that what's indisputable is that in 84-ish or so, Sam Skunkman brought it to Holland.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So these guys grew haze. It got famous. They were growing it in Santa Cruz area. It was a mix of sativas, mostly Colombian. It was getting sold in New York. And then at some point, Sam took a version of it to Holland.
Yes.
And as far as we can tell, he, he gave it to three people. Right?
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
He gave it to Positronics,
mm-hmm.
who he actually worked with.
Yeah.
And he gave it to Carell from Super Sativa Seed Club.
Yep.
That Carell talked about when we interviewed him. And he gave it to Neville.
Yep.
And all three of those guys made hybrids with it and sold seeds from that. And pretty much all haze that we can really trace comes from either those three people or stock that Sam made himself in Amsterdam later.
Yeah.
Off seeds he kept for himself. And we really don't have any verified American haze, do we?
Yeah. I mean, we have the originator that we all agree. I think everybody agrees that Lund was a part of it. Debatable on the lady, Kathy.
Yeah.
It's debatable. We don't have, I'm just going to say first name since it doesn't really, neither here nor there. But there is one guy who keeps all the posters, and as he explained it to me, was that the posters were hung up in the dealers' houses that were verified legit haze dealers. And that's kind of how they verified if they were getting real haze or not. If that poster was in their room, then they knew that they were getting legit haze there. So that's how he told it. Now, if it's true or not, I don't know, but he seems to have the lion's share of the original posters, and he got them somehow. Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then like a lot of those things, like not everybody involved probably has told their story publicly.
Yeah.
By any means. No. And so, and you know, there's a few people that are loud about it that insist they know what's going on. But what we know is it made it there.
Yeah.
It made it to Amsterdam, and everybody's, all the stuff that made Hayes famous sort of came from Amsterdam back to America.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. It wasn't like Hayes popped up here and kept rocking and everybody's rocking a cut from here.
So what we don't know is, it seems like, you know, when we interviewed Carell from Super Sativa Seed Club, he gave us a pretty interesting tidbit in that he didn't think Sam had that many seeds of it because he only gave him like 10.
Yeah.
And he thought that he only gave Neville some. Yeah. Neville disputes that. But be that as it may, Neville ended up probably making the most famous hybrids with it by far.
Yeah, yeah, by far.
You could say that, you know. Yeah. But Positronics had it as well, original, and so did Super Sativa Seed Club.
Yeah.
They all had originals. And it seems like when you read the stories about what Neville and all the rest of them did, is that they were kind of like us growing, you know, it's kind of like the sour that, you know, a lot of the starting stories, it was like a bunch of kids that were young that didn't know what the fuck they were doing at all. Mm-hmm. And they made a bunch of rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
Because they weren't used to growing something that took 22 weeks or whatever. Yeah. And was a jungle plant. Wild. And, you know, and yeah, it seems like a number of them got lost.
Yeah.
By everybody. Accidents didn't, you know, mom got killed. They didn't think it was worth much. It took, you know, 25 weeks and never finished, you know, that kind of thing. And so they didn't realize what kind of gold they had.
At the time, that's so much hindsight needed for that.
Yeah. Yeah. They had no idea. So Neville had, you know, a few males and a few females that he burned through and didn't keep, before he, you know, he ended up, I mean, he ended up only by 1990, he only had one plant that had lived.
Yeah.
You know, and so
someone keeps asking, did Sam get invited? Sam's never wanted to come on the show, so no.
I mean, I've tried. To be honest, that's why I said at first, like, if you want to hear Sam's opinion about it, there you could go hunt on Overgrow, you know, archives or something or anything like that. Like, he's posted a ton on his opinion about it. There's not a shortage of Sam's written history. That's why we didn't focus on it for that long. You know,
he disagreed with me on the Kathy part. So he said that Granddaddy Mike was incorrect on that. You know, that's what he said. And it might be true, you know? So yeah, that's what little I know from him after I told the story the last time based on Granddaddy Mike. That's the one thing that he had. He said it was very good, but that's not correct. So from Sam's word,
the reason why we kind of glossed over that part is that it's the hardest part to talk about because it's the least documented.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a bunch of history from a bunch of people doing some black market illegal shit in America.
Yeah.
All trying to stay under the radar. And as far as the you know, the haze goes, and everybody knows haze. What we just mentioned, Positronics, Neville's stuff, and Super Sativa Seed Club, and Sam are the sources.
Yeah.
That all the haze that we talk about now descends from.
Yeah.
That's where it all comes from. It's either hybrids they made or descendants of it or whatever. And all the companies like the Flying Dutchman or any of these different groups, seedsmen that sold pure haze, I believe they were all just buying kilos wholesale from Sam.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to be able to ask him for sure, but it sounds like he was doing a lot of reselling like that.
Yeah, I mean, he basically, what it sounds like is to not get in trouble, he didn't sell directly to anyone outside of Holland because seed sales within Holland were legal.
Yeah.
So he was willing to wholesale, but he wasn't willing to retail.
Yeah.
So he ended up working through Positronics. He ended up, I mean, that's how, I mean, you know, it's funny when people talk about all this like rare skunk one that used to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked Carell about it. He just laughed and he said, everyone gets skunk one from, you know, buying bags of seed from Sam Skunkman.
Yeah.
That's where you got your skunk one.
Yeah.
Right?
Santa Cruz original haze.
But getting back to haze, it's...
Someone asked about the Ace Seeds haze related to Santa Cruz original haze. I was just going to say that's via Old Timer One, who was British. So I really highly doubt it was sourced via Santa Cruz. It's just my theory on it.
I think they sourced it through Posse, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know who.
I know. Tom Hill's haze line was Positronics.
Yeah. His was, and his was very different from the Old Timer haze.
Yeah. So, you know, all Tom Hill's work and stuff and the deep chunk hybrids and all that stuff about Positronics.
Mm-hmm.
That was all from, for a while there, Sam worked with on some fashion at Posse.
Yeah.
Helping them breed and working with Werner and stuff like that and helping them breed different stuff and working lines, and Positronics was just one of those early seed companies. You know, when Sam first moved to Amsterdam, he was looking for connections, people to sell seeds to, and people to work with.
Yeah.
And he kind of ended up dealing with everyone in town. But that was only like a few dudes.
Yeah.
That was really like ongoing then or whatever, right?
And Positronics also, like a lot of people don't know this part, but the Positronics Haze 19 Skunk 1 is what gave birth and is the same thing as the Metal Haze that I think Bodhi just released F3s of. So if you do want like a worked version of that line, that's a very good way to get it.
So I don't know. I'd never heard numbers until the Carell interview, but Carell swore that like Posse, him, Neville, they only got like a handful, like 10 seeds each.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the first time I heard that too.
And then Sam held the rest back that he had for himself to make his own open pollination that he did later.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'd never heard that before. But then, you know, Carell was there and we weren't. So
exactly, yeah.
You know, Neville's dead now, but he claims he got big bags of old ass seed, but only got, you know, 8 or 10 of them to pop out of the entire thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, they, you know, he comes to mid-80s or whatever. He comes here and he comes from California to Holland and he sells haze seeds to multiple different people and then starts working it himself. And that was the start of haze becoming famous.
Yeah.
And it really didn't for at first, even like the very first thing that Neville offered was actually a Northern Lights crossed to a female haze he had.
Yeah.
That was year one. So there was like this Haze B that was a girl and it was NL1 Haze B. And then the next year he came out with NL5 Haze.
I didn't even know that. I don't think I knew that part.
About that's... the B girl?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you go look in the 88 catalog, he has, I think it's actually an NL1 by Ruderalis hybrid. Okay. And he crossed it to Haze B. And he talks about it being female because he was like trying to like tame the crazy lead time to flower it.
Yeah.
Right.
Someone's calling you out. Someone's saying you're incorrect. How sure
about
are you on
what?
It? I don't know.
How sure am I on it? I don't know. I mean, I got I got the catalogs around here, but he, the first two hybrids he really tried to make was he crossed it to Maple Leaf Afghan Tea, and he crossed it to NL5 Haze.
Okay.
And NL5 Haze he released. The other one I don't think he released to the public, but he gave to friends or whatnot.
Is a Big Herb? Is this the Big Herb from Mr. Nice forums? Oh, okay. There you go. What's
it
up,
is?
Herb? Long time no see, dude.
Oh man, that's so cool. I've read so many of your threads on Mr. Nice.
I've been actually looking for Big Herb for quite a while. That's cool to see you, dude. I'm glad you showed up.
Yeah. So I mean, one of the cool things about Mr. Nice is that there was a time in 2009, 2010 or something, where Neville was very active on there.
Yeah.
And a ton of knowledge about what happened. Dropped both publicly in posts that he made and via DM and communications with various people that were active at the time.
Yeah.
On Mr. Nice. And Big Herb was definitely one of those guys that was active in communication. And like Matt said, he had a great write-up on the history of it that you can probably still go read.
Yeah, Herb was around when Neville came back and I started getting fucking around with him and trying to work the Bubbas and all that shit. And it kind of petered off on the Mr. Nice forums after that. It really, really took a dive after all that shit.
Yeah. So somebody just asked a question, which I'll answer just because it ties in. They were asking, did Neville have both an A and a C male, and did he use them to breed in various things? So what it sounds like is that Neville ended up with two guys, right?
Yeah.
And the A and the C, right? And it was easier to use the males, because it was easier to collect pollen and then dust a bunch of indica females at the appropriate time than it was to try to deal with the females, I guess.
Yeah.
So for lack of a better way, he ended up with a couple boys, and the A, he lost in 1989. He did a huge seed increase and put all of his best indicas in there, like the G13 and the NL5 and a bunch of different stuff. And then him and his workers forgot to keep a backup in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So he bloomed every A male and they all died and he lost it. So after that,
happens so often keeping big libraries too.
So he never sold any commercial. He never sold any commercial amounts of Haze A.
Yeah.
He popped them himself and gave out various phenos of it, which we'll get to in a little bit. And he gave some private amounts of seed to friends, other breeders, people early on, whatnot, but it was never sold commercially. So everything you ever could buy commercially was the C-Dad. So all NL5 Haze, all NL5 Haze that you could buy from the seed bank or from Sensi Seeds was the C-Dad, right? Okay. And that's kind of like what everybody's got.
Yeah, I'd bring Big Herb on the live. I don't know if he's ready to just pop on camera all of a sudden, but he's more than welcome to come on.
No, but we'll definitely reach out to you after the show. He's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
And would be cool to add to things. But, so Neville had, and NL5 Haze was probably the most famous. It's probably what put Haze on the map, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that it just made it a permanent part of cannabis lore.
Yeah. It inundated the United States.
It did. And he, in 89 and 90, the pictures on the front of his catalog were an NL5 Haze A.
Yeah.
Huge running colas, big bud, all that. And it was that and Super Skunk ended up being him and Sensi's best-selling seed lines. So NL5 Haze kind of changed the game. And it was super potent. And it's probably, I've said it on shows with Matt before, in my opinion, it's probably the most successful hybrid ever made.
I wonder if it's because the line was kicking out more keepers, things that people wanted, or just because so many were sold, you were eventually going to find a keeper, because it wasn't super easy to find keepers in all those packs, was it?
I never found a fucking keeper.
Yeah.
And I bought plenty of packs. Not plenty, but I mean, I probably bought 7 or 8 packs. In the mid 90s, But then other people from that same year and same era as me, there's things that are still traded today that were found right around then.
Yeah.
So it's just the mystery of seeds. You can find it in one, and you might not find it in 200.
Yeah.
In a way, you know. But it seems like that strain was consistent from somewhere to 89 to the mid 90s.
Yeah.
Neville says they lost the NL5 mom before he left Scentsy, which was in 95, 96.
Yeah.
But basically, like, all the haze that we know of, all the phenos that have been kept, all seem to trace back to that late 80s through mid 90s era.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch.
Like, yeah.
And there's a fucking bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
There's a shitload.
I mean,
and some that may not even be identified as NL5 haze. Like, Bull Rider might be NL5 haze based, you know?
Yeah, old Betsy.
Yeah, exactly.
The sister of Bull Rider or whatever. But
yeah.
So what ends up happening is that maybe we can, like, you know, that's interesting, Big Herb, because we've always wondered, there's been a rumor that the Cuban Black could have been from gifted seeds to someone that Neville knew. You know, and it could have been A in that case. But I've heard that rumor too. I don't know if it's true. But
I poo-poo the Cuban Black. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Like, the at least the clones circulating right now in the community, because I knew exactly who brought it in, and that dude kept fucking lying about everything he had. So I think it's very, I'm very skeptical with what goes around today as a Cuban Black haze. It might be some kind of NL5 haze, but it is not the original. I know where
so
it came from.
So what, you know, I mean, we can, you know, we're bouncing around, and I apologize because it's like a multi-decade story or whatever. But
yeah,
basically, and we can dive into different parts at different times, but basically between, you know, 89 and 95 or so, there's probably like 10 or 15 elites, maybe a few more,
yeah,
that have survived from that era that are all named cuts and still held on to.
Yeah.
Of mostly NL5 haze, whether it uses the A dad or the C dad, but some G13 haze, some hash plant haze, various different things.
Yeah.
You know?
I've only ever had the hash plant haze and hybrids. It is pretty good.
They so basically, yeah, Neville basically crossed it to like all his best indicas.
Yeah.
So it got crossed to hash plant, it got crossed to G13, it got crossed to NL5, it got crossed to NL1. Anything that he had that was an indica that he thought was a bomb clone.
Yeah.
Got, you know, so that's kind of where, like, people are talking PIF isn't one thing, all this. We'll get to that in a second. But basically what happened is that there's a whole series we can talk about of famous clones in Europe that Neville hunted and found and then passed out to friends.
Yeah.
And those got held in, like, some people call them the Southern Holland, the South Holland crew. South Holland crew. And they've been sold in coffee shops for decades.
Yeah.
When I first went, you know, to coffee shops in Amsterdam, you could get NL5, haze, you could get A5, you could get C5, you could get G13, you could get hash plant haze. Basically every trip I went somewhere had, you know, various versions of it.
Yeah.
So they were sold, and a lot of people came to Holland to smoke those hazes. So there was these famous cuts, and there's a lot of them that are 30 years old now or whatever that got saved in Europe. And there's like a whole map to that. And then at the same time, there was a bunch of people that were trading seeds with Neville and buying a bunch of Neville seeds. And it seems like a combination of New York and Florida, right? It blew up and got super popular.
Yeah.
And there was markets for it. A lot of the people in Florida were actually sending it to New York because it blew up in New York and got top dollar. And there's rumors that it's been kind of a thing in New York since the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, there's always been a high-end clientele of, like, Wall Street brokers, musicians, artists, connected people that were willing to drop big money for haze.
Yeah.
As long as I've been a smoker, you could go to New York and find haze.
Yeah. I wonder why that is.
It just caught on and never, I don't know. But
Like, I wonder why Dominican crews picked up on it in New York. I wonder why certain ethnic, you know, groups just navigated to that specific type. Is it that New Yorkers just tend to like more speedy weed, you know?
I mean, I don't know. In this case, the best haze in the world, in my opinion, is in Amsterdam and, you know, New York and Florida.
Yeah.
The West Coast gets jacked. Like, we get Jack and Super Silver Haze and, you know, like, we get a lot of hybrids of that kind of thing. And those are more like the poly hybrids that came later.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, they, on the East Coast, they have a bunch of F1s and S1s of F1s. And, you know, and people are going to talk about it. You know, there's people talk about names like Heights Haze, Downtown Brown, Piff, Church, Cuban Black. You know, it seems like there was groups of Dominicans and groups of Cubans that had it on lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, people call it block work, because they could get it on the block. There was green haze, there was brown haze, right?
Yeah.
And it's really hard if you're not from there, to know all the different, you know, are they phenos? Are they the same thing grown different ways? Are they called different hybrid names? I talked to some people that were in the know. And I used to think that it was like, you know, half a dozen names for the same couple cuts.
Yeah.
But it turns out that in the 30 years that haze has been popular in New York and Florida, there's a fucking plethora.
Yeah. There's like Poudet. That's another one. I always wondered what that stood for. It's a weird word.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of nicknames and stuff. And so what's crazy about the haze is that and don't take any offense to this, anyone, but like the Cubans and the Dominicans and whoever that were running it, they viewed it very much so as a business.
Yeah.
And they held that shit fucking tight. They weren't into sharing it with trading. They had like a market, and their market was good, and they were into it. And there's dudes that I've talked to that like their entire career basically just grown haze.
Yeah.
You know, that's all they needed to do was grow haze, get it to New York. Boom. They're good. Right. So they don't share that shit. So, but what's interesting about that is, like, unlike a lot of like random cuts you get, like where you kind of have to get the cut, a lot of those dudes, once they realized they couldn't get the real cut, they just went and bought beans because you could still buy the line.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's like, imagine if your buddies are selling it for a ton of money, you might go to Amsterdam and buy 100 seeds.
Yeah.
And come back and pop a bunch. And then all of a sudden you've got the, you know, I've got the piff.
Yeah.
I've got the Cuban Black. You know, they called it.
My experience, and this is, I remember Big Herb, I was trying to push a bunch of these off on him because I knew like no one wanted them. But when I got the piff, the Dominicans asked me not to release it pure. That was the only request they had. Don't release it pure. And I wasn't going to fucking snub that, you know, like you didn't want to piss anyone off. So I never did, but I really regret it.
Yeah, I mean, they have there's a market. So I don't claim to be an expert. I mean, there's different people we could probably bring on maybe in the future that know a lot more about the various names and origins of the various different haze things from New York. I just wanted to bring it up in general that there's a bunch of cuts that get passed around in Florida and New York more, but Florida too, and a bunch in Holland. And between those two areas, that's like 15 different cuts.
Yeah.
At least. A bunch. So it's probably the line that has the most. We're lucky if one or two phenos of any famous thing survives from the 90s to today.
Yeah.
Right? Can you think of any other line from that era that has as many cuts as NL5 Haze does that still float around?
Not even close, man. We're still trying to find a single cut of a lot of these lines, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, and so, you know, some of this stuff. People are talking about gold or brown haze or whatever. In my opinion, and I've seen it in like Chem 4 and I've seen it in various strains, you know, certain strains just when they're around oxygen, they sort of cure a little bit brown.
Yeah.
I used to remember like the real cherry pie when it was growing would be like deep purple and would look all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
When I did it depths and then I dry it and 3 weeks later, it would, the purple would turn a little light brown.
Oh man, I hated that about like blackberries too. Like that beautiful magenta red, as it dries, it turns just this nasty muddy
brown. And some of those haze crosses turn brown as they dry. It's the Colombian influence, I believe. And so it might be terpy as all get out and fresh and smell delicious. And someone looks at it and they're like, this shit's old.
Yeah.
You have old weed, you know? So it's just like, you know, I mean, even like we were talking about it earlier today, but I have a buddy who made the chocolate top, the chocolate diesel.
Yeah.
Right. And that stuff, it's basically chocolate tie by dog by sour diesel.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal. And we had it for a long time and no one wanted to ever buy it because it cured a light brown.
Yeah.
Because the chocolate part wasn't so much it smelled like chocolate. It was that the tie was brown.
Yeah. And like Pharrell said, back in the day, they wanted that brown.
Yeah. But that brown was good brown. It was fresh. Yeah. It wasn't like it was fucked up, but it just a little yellow, little brown, little off colors.
Yeah.
But what's crazy about haze is that is like death on the West Coast. Right. Yeah. Brown, any kind of brown color at all. And it's like doom. And I can see people in the comments or whatever talking about, oh, the Uptown Brown's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's the one. I give me that brown.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a bunch of stuff like that where I can name them real quick. When we talk about A or C, it's just basically like a Holland shorthand for which haze male of Neville's was used.
Yeah.
Right. So there's at least three C5s that float around Holland that are still alive for sure. Yeah. One of them is called the One. And that's the mom of Super Silver Haze. Mm-hmm. And it floats around. It's actually in America right now. And it's what some people, if you see people posting in America of C5, it's that cut.
Okay. So the C5 cut in America is the One.
The C5 cut in America it's like the terpenylene bomb.
Yes.
It's what made Super Silver Haze so terpenylene dominant.
Yeah.
You know? It's being passed around. It made it over and it's really amazing, uplifting, super potent weed. Mm-hmm. It just, you have to be able to handle terpenylene.
Yeah.
If you don't like terpenylene, it's going to be a real problem.
I smoke terpenylene all day.
And so there's like three C5s. The final C5 was my favorite. I used to smoke it over there in Amsterdam. It's they call it the 122 or the mango. Mm-hmm. And it's the mom of Mango Haze. And it just it has more of that myrcene, I forget what the terp is that leads to mangoes, but it smells like ripe mangoes and it's got a great high.
Yeah.
C5 isn't SSH. C5 is the mom of SSH. Someone just said. So then there's three cuts of C5 at least over there. There's two cuts of A5, they say. There's a G13A. There's a G13C. There's a hash plant by C. I might be missing a couple. I don't know.
Yeah,
but there's a bunch of them over there. And then most of the ones in America are you know, NL5 across the sea.
Yeah.
Even I should mention too that Neville gave Soma of Soma Seeds some G13A, and he took a mail of that, and all of Soma's sativa and hazy lines are based off that mail that he kept from some G13A seeds that he got. And so what it seems like, Neville was pretty open about this on the forums over there, was Hayes does not like being cross to itself.
No, yeah.
At all. And what becomes hard is, especially with the C, the more you cross Hayes to itself, Neville called it cat piss. We would probably call it terpenylene. But the more you cross it, you get terpenylene dominant, and then only rarely do others any kind of, and that's what everybody thinks of as Jack terps, train wreck terps.
Yep.
Super Silver Haze terps. That kind of stuff tends to dominate. So
what
it seems like is, the best ones, the ones that everybody keeps, are the F1s.
Yeah.
Of haze to some indica. And the polyhybrids like Super Silver Haze, Mango Haze, Jack Herrera, that kind of thing, they don't seem to be as – people don't seem to have keepers of those the same way. Not that there's not cuts of them that don't float around and might be nice.
Yeah.
But we should mention too, because it's – fuck, it's kind of like a ramble or whatever, but – most of these things, they're one of the most unique things about haze is that most of the good ones take between 12 and 16 weeks.
Yeah.
A long time. Like, I think the Cuban blacks and a lot of the ones in New York, 90 to 100 days is a pretty common rate to take those ones. The dog shit, which is about the only West Coast one that's any good, that one's 12, 13 weeks, easy,
yeah.
You know? All the stuff from Europe, you know, is all 15, 16 weeks.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was one of the things that Neville and Shanti and all those guys that were fucking around with it, one of their criteria was they didn't want anything longer than 16 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it was impractical. Because asking someone to flower something for 4 months is already impractical.
Yeah, especially if it's a money-making thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so there's an aspect where it's like, you know, they cut it off. They wanted 14 to 16 weeks, you know, and it seems like the earliest good ones are more like 12 and 13.
Yeah.
You know? But 14 to 16 seems to be the most common range that a lot of them fall into.
I was a big fan of the Old Sog Super Silver Haze. That was one of my favorites that ran pretty quick and was mostly Skunk One dominant. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, those, you know, the Super Silver Haze and the Mango Haze were both two different NL5 Haze moms crossed to the same Skunk Haze dad.
Yeah.
Right? So the Skunk helped, like, throw, especially in the Super Silver, it helped it throw bigger, longer, thicker colas.
Yeah.
And it could shorten up the time a whole bunch, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, then it just became, going back, it just became fucking famous.
Yeah.
Everybody had haze. And all these seed companies wanted to obscure exactly how they got haze. But haze just became, haze for a while was sort of shorthand for sativa.
Yeah.
It was the sativa. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it got famous in America. It got famous over there. It was all these various different things. And it seems like, you know, like I said, the F1s seem to be a lot better than the polyhybrids.
Yeah.
Now that the polyhybrids weren't nice. I've grown nice Super Silver Haze. I've had keepers of Mango Haze I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like all the most favorite ones are F1.
Yeah. So some type of Afghani or Paki crossed the haze.
Crossed the haze. Very different things slapped together, and then you see what they get.
Yeah.
And even with those things crossed to it, still the keepers were 14, 16 weeks.
Yeah.
So essentially, like, you're taking some Colombian and, like, shortening it from 20 to 24 to 14 to 16.
I've seen Colombian black go up to 26. That's fucking insane, yeah.
You know? And so people are talking about PIF. PIF is just... You know, PIF is a catch-all term.
Yeah.
For, it's one of the nicknames to haze.
Yeah.
You know, people can argue, I'm not going to sit there and say that I have some encyclopedic knowledge of how all the New York haze terms came about.
Yeah.
But it got a bunch of, it was popular enough for long enough that it has a bunch of nicknames. Right?
Yep.
I said it before, Heights Haze, Uptown Brown, Cuban Black, Blockwork. Huh?
Yeah. Church.
PIF, Church, Frankie, short for frankincense, you know, all that different types of stuff.
Oh boy, there said Pude stands for pure. I didn't know that's what it meant. I don't know if that's Colombian for pure or Dominican for pure.
It had a lot of nicknames.
Yeah.
You know, and probably just like Kush and just like Cookie, just like everything else, it got popular. People got bag seeds. People got lines from Amsterdam still and popped their own thing and added their own name to it because they're trying to cash in on the thing. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to say, but rarely, you know, that line was available for 7 or 8 years in seed form.
Okay, so I have an idea.
Huh.
I have an idea for a little game we can play. I'm going to name a few different haze cuts, and you're going to say pass or smoke.
Oh, pass, man.
And you're going to be passing it to an idiot, or you're going to smoke it yourself. Okay.
Indeed.
Okay. A5.
Smoke.
Smoke. Okay. C5.
Smoke.
Smoke. I knew you'd go for both of them. Dog shit.
Definitely smoke.
Have you smoked Old Betsy?
No.
Nope, haven't tried it.
Or Bull Rider, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the I haven't even smoked for a Bull Rider that I know of, you know, like it just wasn't, it had already died out by the time I got to San Diego. Let's see here. I'm trying to think of some good hazy cuts that you've tried. Cali Mist.
Smoke.
There's nothing you're not going to smoke that has haze in it now that I think about it. I don't think I could name one. Could you?
I could, yeah. I would. There's not really a Jack I've seen that I wished I had a jar on my shelf there.
Wow. So Jack, you're going to pass on a Jack.
Jack, I would pass
on the Jack.
Or pass on Jack. Jack to me is like a huge yielding skunk one on a haze frame.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like just, I don't know. It like the type of terpenylene that Jack is not my favorite. It's more like it doesn't taste good to me. You know, people love it, you know, and people loved it because they got 2-3 pounds of light with it and they crushed it in depths and greenhouses and they basically grew the shit out of it until the buyers were like, you know?
Yeah. How about Amnesia? Have you tried Amnesia yet?
Amnesia is some watered down shit.
I thought it's one of my favorites.
Really?
All the reasons. It is one of my favorites by far because it's so like perfumey, fruity. Like it's just nice, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like the church, the frankincense, the myrcene.
Yeah.
I'm not a terpenylene hater by any means. Like I said, C5 is a terpenylene bomb.
Yeah.
But there's a difference to me between terpenylene that has a little bit of sweetness or creaminess behind it.
Uh-huh.
And like, I just sprayed my mouth with like floor cleaner.
Yeah, that's true.
And that terpenylene, you know, it's like, and I think for Jack and stuff like that, there was just a bunch of badly grown Jack and just like train wreck, you know, it overwhelms people.
Yeah.
You know, like that Durbin from Colorado or whatever, that one's a terpenylene bomb too.
Sure is.
You know,
sure fucking is.
Super terpenylene. And, you know, it's like, I like, there's all kinds of weed I smoke. I'm not a hater on it.
Yeah.
But the interesting part to me is it's not so much the only thing I can think of that's like really strong terpenylene that I love the high is the C5.
Interesting. And I wonder what about that does it for you.
You know, I don't know why that is, but
yeah.
You know, but they, you know, what's cool about it is that because it made money in coffee shops for so long and still does, it's still hoarded over there.
Yeah.
And people accuse us of hoarding. That shit is legit hoarded.
Dude, people are like, so many people put stipulations on those fucking cuts. There are certain seed lines like me and Caleb can never release.
No, ever. Because they'll be super pissed off and people will be angry. And it's like, and you know, it's been monetized over there for so long and been sold in coffee shops. And if you got the cuts, you had to give kickbacks to the dudes that I was like very, so those things, it's like, and they don't give a fuck. They don't want to trade you for shit. They have what they have and they don't. So that's like the ultimate hoarding because honestly, they didn't slip out until Neville died.
Yeah. Yeah.
The entire time that he was alive, that shit was on lockdown with those guys.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then only two of those cuts, maybe more, but only, you know, but yeah.
I love that. One of the sources for those cuts, I was sent a list with those on me. I was like, I want those two. And the dude didn't even know what the fuck they were till I told him what they were. And that was the biggest mistake I ever made. I don't like to dick people and be like, you know, I'd like to trade equal value. So even if they find out later it's rare, they at least got their worth. But yeah.
The hard part is that you know, these things would never be popular. Okay.
Yeah. No.
You really have to like the high, because
you should know what you're growing too. Because I see a lot of people asking about the A5S1s and stuff like that. That's not going to be a super like marketable commercial crop nowadays that would sell really well. I think people have this like fantasized idea because you're saying it's dank and they respect your word. They don't understand what it would what this definition of dank would look like.
It's dank and ugly.
It is fugly.
I mean, like I mentioned before, like people were talking on the thing about how much they love the Uptown Brown.
Yeah.
You couldn't sell Uptown Brown in California.
No fucking way. No way.
Don't get me wrong. Even if I agree with you and I say that weed's amazing, it still wouldn't sell here.
Yeah, it just couldn't. And like, if you see the pictures of A5, there's no resin production anywhere on any leaf for miles. And you just look at it and be like, fuck, that dude sucks at growing. But really, it's the plant.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
But it works, you know? And so you really have to be into the high. So it's like all these Dutch are like trying to hoard it like Americans are going to like fuck with their money.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you really have to be a consumer, like a lover of cannabis, because it takes 4 months. So you have to plan that it's going to take twice as long as the rest of your shit.
Yeah.
And you got to keep it happy and healthy and bug free and pee and all the various issues free that long.
And it don't wash.
You know? No. Yeah. And then, you know, and then you get some great weed,
you
know? And so, so it's not, you know, but in Holland, it's like all my first experiences with smoking, all those ones were all Holland grown.
Yeah.
And maybe I could tell a story that people might like. So I went and saw this room in Holland that was growing Neville's Haze and C5 and then 122, right? And so I go into this room and it was I only met Neville a couple of times, but it was one of his partners, okay? And so I go into this room and it's like, there's like 1 gallon pots on the ground, okay? Mm-hmm. With those Grodan, like,
Rockwool
croutons.
Yeah.
You know, like the little
croutons.
Yeah. The little crouton little squares, right?
Yeah.
These 1 gallon pots with these stems coming out of them that were like that big. And those stems went 6-7 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
Okay. Bare. Right. And so imagine this little 1 gallon pot with this stem that's like half as wide as the pot.
Yeah.
Going 6 feet straight up and then branches everywhere and like 2 or 3 layers of netting.
Yeah.
And then they just had a bunch of 600s on the ceiling.
I forgot to tell you, I had a conversation with Seattle Greg the other day, and he said when he went into Neville's grow room,
he said
when he first got there, Neville was growing rockwool slabs on the ground.
On the ground, yeah. And they had drains in there or whatever else, and they would be on this like the slowest constant drip ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was like you're looking at literally these, they were probably 10, 12 foot tall plants. That was like where the weed was.
Yeah.
And it started at above, I'm 6'3". It started above my head.
That's fucking crazy.
Like I walked in and all the netting was above my head. And there's these tiny ass little pots on slow drip and just like a sea of spears above
your head. How big was the ceiling? How tall were the ceilings?
They were pretty tall. They were like 14 feet or something like that.
Had to be. I mean, if the fucking canopy starts at the top of your head,
The canopy started about 7 feet. It was about half a foot above my head.
Jesus.
And from Christ. 7 to 10 feet was where most of the weed was. And then the lights were hanging off the ceiling. And it was like 6 feet. Like you looked and there was like a sea of stalk coming out of the thing and going up above your head and then branching out into huge branches all over.
That's wild.
It was pretty wild. At the time, I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. Because
People are confusing. They're saying they thought you were 5'10". No, that's me. I'm 5'10".
Yeah, I'm 6'3". It was above my head. And, you know, and what's crazy about that is that their drip system fails, for instance. That shit's dead in like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what's always scared me about, like, drip systems, feeds, hydroponic systems.
I mean, it was literally on like the slowest drip you could imagine. It was basically constant.
Yeah.
You know, it's constant feed during the light cycle, you know?
Yeah.
So, it was pretty, but that's how they grew. And that was Neville's Haze and the Mango Haze and the C5.
Yeah.
And those were all grown for coffee shops at the time.
Yeah.
You know? And they were dank. I mean, the Neville's Haze is A5 by Haze C, you know? And the cut that I love still exists. I hope that it gets sent over to America sometime. I would go, what the fuck are you laughing at?
Everybody's doubting my height.
No, he's short as fuck.
I'm not 5'10".
Huh?
Liars.
He's short. I don't know how short. But
floor terps.
He's short, you know. So
5'10" is a little short, you're right.
He might I don't know.
Grow Pinocchio nose on my dick.
There was some really good Neville's Hazes. There's rumor. It's really hard to substantiate anything with Shanti or any of the Euro guys in general. So we don't know if Neville's Haze is the same or not.
Yeah.
You know, we don't. Someone asked if we could break down Karma's A5 S1.
Yeah, he should change the name to Snitch Haze S1. Next!
He reversed the I don't think the Hazes like being bred even to outcrosses of themselves.
Yeah.
They certainly don't like, that doesn't seem like they like to be S1 very much.
No. There's a lot of ugly in them motherfuckers. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of ugly.
You might get, and that's part of the problem too, is like when it comes to Haze, you know, the best stuff is gonna be 3 to 4 months. A bunch of it's going to be junk. A bunch of it's going to be jungle weed.
Yeah.
You're not going to know for forever. It takes a long time to freaking, to get it going. So it's like, I mean, I could tell a story that I've told privately or whatever, but I went out to the Cannabis Cup in, I think it was 98 or something like that. And it was the first year that they released Neville's Haze seeds.
Yeah.
Okay. And Neville's Haze was, so everybody knows, it was supposed to be a private breeding of Neville's, and he was trying to make what he called the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
A haze line. So he took his favorite A5, which was on the cover of the 89 and 90 catalog, that female, and he threw that on the Haze C-male.
Yeah.
And it was the first time he tried to breed both Haze dads into a single thing. And they found this cut over there that was the strongest sativa I've ever smoked in my life. I've talked about it before. It's
crazy. I remember which one it is.
That Neville's Haze.
Oh, that just
Neville's Haze phenol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it is unbelievably potent in a way that weed is not normally potent.
Yeah.
And so I smoked it over there and it blew my head off. Like it made it hard for me to walk downstairs.
Yeah.
I like That's held onto the shit. Railing and I felt disassociated and I felt like it hit me in a weird, it made me feel like I was smoking kind bud with no tolerance.
Yeah.
Like I got, it was intense and I got high for hours. And so I just brought some of these seeds home and I'd never grown an extreme sativa before. So I was going to breed with this fucker and I grew it for a few months. I took some cuttings and then once they rooted and I knew I had backup copies, I flipped it to see what was up.
Yeah.
Well, I flipped it at 12-12, you know, because it's like 1999 or something.
Yeah. I made that mistake before too.
Yeah. And it vegged for months with no pistols.
Yeah. Just you wait and you're like week seven. You're like, the
huh? Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck? Like all my shit's finishing up and it's barely starting. And I was like, oh fuck. So I tossed them and then I took clones and I flowered those. And then I put more shit in there because I was trying to breed with it. And then the same fucking thing happened. Right. And I didn't know at the time that a lot of those guys over there will tell you that if you really want to get your sativas to do well,
yeah,
clone them a few times and let the plant itself get to be 6 or 7 months old.
Yeah.
Because that's its natural veg cycle before it would even start to bloom in the tropics.
Yeah.
You got to realize it's going to veg for a long ass time. And he's like, no, if you're getting an A5 cut that was popped in 89, you can just flip it.
Yeah. It's obviously. Old. Yeah.
And then I didn't know anything about 1114 or 1113 or 1014 or anything like that, which is basically just like for people that don't grow, it's how much hours of light and how much hours of darkness.
Yeah.
So 1212 for, 22 years ago or whatever, that was fine for all my indicas. For Neville's, that was like veg.
Yeah.
In order to get it to start, I had to give it 11 hours of light and 13 hours of darkness. It had to be over 6 months old. And then I had to finish it at 1014 for like the final 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I fucked up a bunch.
Yeah. I did that with the Malawi too. Bodhi's the one who taught me that trick. Cause I wouldn't even made sense of it back then.
So no, I had no idea. I didn't even make sense of it until I had a buddy in Amsterdam who grew for Neville and I went back to Europe and saw him the next year and told him like basically my follies.
Yeah.
And he just laughed at me and he laid all that shit out.
Yeah.
And I had no idea, dude.
It makes sense when someone says it, like, and then you're like, oh God, that makes sense. And how easy. Yeah.
every other strain I'd ever grown of cannabis at that point in time, when I turned the lights back to 12-12, everything I needed to happen happened.
Yeah.
That was my first experience with like weed that didn't do that. You know? And so that's only with extreme sativas, if it's got enough indica and it should trigger.
Should.
And it's only if it's from seed. Because seeds know they're young.
Someone was asking if any of us had grown Cali Mist. Here's an old original pack, low numbered pack early on of Cali Mist that we haven't popped yet. One day, huh, Nato?
One day. It should be said about the Cali Mist. Simon worked for Neville. Mm-hmm. Its origins are unknown. Neville thinks that it's an NL5 Haze A pheno. Mm-hmm. But he thought that everything in Europe was based off his work, so that's not a surprise.
He thought everything in America was based off his work.
But what is interesting is that having talked to some Dutch people, they say that the Cali Mist was based off a mother plant called the mango.
Yeah.
Now whether it's the same mango that founded the mango haze and the 122, or whether it's a different thing, I can't say. But they said for a long time it was alive in Europe, and then it got lost.
Yeah.
So, people talk about
the Cali Mist. Western Winds. I remember Western Winds has some Cambo in it, or supposedly
Western Winds is the same fucking thing.
Yeah, and it has Cambo in it.
So people that don't know, Tony from Sag Martha and Simon from Sirius had a company that we talked about before, Cerebral Seeds, for 1 year, right?
Yeah.
And they split up. Tony made Sag Martha seeds. Simon made Sirius seeds. And Simon's version of the Cali Mist was called Cali Mist. Mm-hmm. Tony's version of the same line was called Western Winds. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, one of the cooler names in cannabis. I always liked the name Western Winds. I thought that was a super neat name.
Just makes me think of gas.
You know? So I've heard people in Europe tell me that they preferred Tony's version to Simon's. Mm-hmm. That the Western Winds. But, you know, then it's hard to say. Those guys don't really reveal parentage.
No.
We don't know what's in the Cali Mist. We don't know what's in the bubble gum. We don't know what's in the AK-47. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But the 90s Cali Mist, Simon got busted in 99 or 2000 when they changed the laws. And it seems like several of his lines changed after that.
Yeah.
And the Cali Mist was one of them. But in the 90s, there was some really amazing Cali Mist cuts.
Yeah.
It was a nice line. That's kind of what happened. It's like people were getting, you could buy, they called it, Pure Haze F10. Mm-hmm. Remember from Flying Dutchman?
Yep.
And they'd straight up tell you 80% of it is junk. 10% of it is pretty good. And 10% of it is special.
I don't know if Flying Dutchman said that. I know Tom Hill said that.
I'm pretty sure that in the description, because they talked about how inbred it was already.
Okay.
And that its best use was for hybrids and outcrossing.
Interesting.
But if you were trying to find a winner, be prepared that only less than 10%.
Yeah.
So you'd have to do like at least 101 hunt.
Yep.
And so doing a 100 plant haze hunt is a fucking nightmare.
It's also expensive.
Yes, expensive and nightmarish because it's going to be a bunch of jungle weed, and the shittiest looking weed could end up being fire.
Yeah.
You're not going to know until you dry it and smoke it. You're not going to know how potent it is. It can be like, look resinless.
Yeah.
And still take your head off. Right?
Yep.
I mean, so, but what's cool about it is that it was so fire that it's become one of the most common names in cannabis. And it's been blended into all kinds of shit for forever.
Yep.
You know, Blue Dream has haze in it. You know, lots of huge yielding plants have haze in their background because of that stretch.
Yeah. The stretch, the yield, the high.
If you could, like Jack Herrera was basically figuring out a way to get skunk buds on a haze frame.
Yeah.
And if you could get a ginormous haze plant with huge skunk running colas and a little NL density, then you're 3 pounds of light, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. 3 pounds of light.
3 pounds of light, bro.
I used to know the days that you're supposed to fucking lollipop on for 3 pounds of light, but I don't remember it anymore.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe we should, we've been rambling about haze for a minute. Maybe we should talk a little about, so Neville made all these hybrids, only a few of which he ended up selling to the public.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch, like the G13 haze crosses and the silver haze, which was Afghan, a maple leaf Afghan tea by Hayes, and different things. Mm-hmm. He passed out to friends and other people in Amsterdam, and even some people that bought seeds off him early on.
Yeah.
So those things got spread out a little bit, and there was keepers that were found, even though you could never buy G13 by Hayes A.
Yeah.
You know, they had it. And then, you know, after that, he started trying to make polyhybrids and blend them all together and cross various select cuts he'd found. He was trying to do skunk NL and Hayes mixed together.
Yeah.
Because he considered those to be like the three most famous lines in Holland.
Yeah.
So can I get a plant that contains all three? And what it sounds like is it was just a terpenylene nightmare.
G13 Hayes?
All the polyhybrids he was trying to
use. Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I went to the first cup I went to was the Jack. There was a cup in 1995, a cannabis cup in Amsterdam, which is the only place that they were. And in 95, Ben and Alan Dronkers, this was actually, I guess, it was 95. So Ben and Alan Dronkers wanted to have a commemorative release because the whole theme for that that cup was Jack Herrera and the Emperor Wears No Clothes.
Yeah.
And the impact that Jack Herrera had had on the cannabis movement. Right?
So Keep going. 1 second.
So there was all this theme or whatever, right? And so Neville had been working on this NL5 haze by Skunk Haze, but he hadn't really found what he wanted yet. So Ben and Alan Dronkers, because they were at Sensi and Neville was at Sensi at the time, they convinced him to release this sort of like not ready for prime time thing and call it Jack Herrera. Okay? So that's how the Jack Herrera came about. Was they already had a pheno of it that they had at the cup, that they had flower at the cup. And then they released Jack Herrera as a seed line at Sensi Seeds that at the cup. That was like its big debut. Was you could buy Jack Herrera at the cup.
Damn it. I thought I had my Jack Herrera 95 poster here, but I can find it real quick.
Yeah. Anyway, so Jack got released. Jack supposedly is the genesis of fucking Brothers Grimm C99 is bag seed from a coffee shop in Amsterdam of Jack Herrera.
Yeah.
Is the supposed origins or whatever.
At least half, yeah, it's a bag seed, so it could be half Jack or full Jack.
Supposedly, if you believe him, it was found in a bud of Jack Herrera bought at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And he brought it home and did shit with it. So Neville wasn't satisfied with Jack Herrera. He felt it was still unfinished, and he left Sensi later that year. And he kept working on the project, and he got Shanti Baba to help him. Uh-huh. And they had the mothers that they wanted. They were going to use the C5 and the 122. And they kept trying to find different skunk haze dads that would do what they wanted.
Yeah.
And according to them, it took a long time and a bunch of different males and a bunch of different growing shit out and a bunch of pain in the ass. But after a few years, they found a skunk haze dad that worked. And Neville preferred that Skunk Haze crossed to the C5. And Shanti preferred that same dad crossed to the 122. And they couldn't agree on which one was the better line and better representative. Mm-hmm. So they released both. And they called the Skunk Haze by C5 the Super Silver Haze. and they called the Mango Haze by Same Skunk Dad Mango Haze.
You know, Super Silver Haze is one that I've actually ran a bunch of, and that's one that I had the hardest time finding keepers in, but I have smoked others' keepers. Like I said, the Old Sog is always one of my favorite. But there are some really good keepers out there, but I just never had luck with Super Silver Haze.
I brought some to, I think, our party a couple of times. It wasn't, mine wasn't super elite, I wouldn't say. It was a nice cut. It yielded like crazy. It was great to dep and great to grow outside. Yeah. And it had a lot of qualities you want in mold resistance and just general happiness. You know, it had a light terpenylene base or whatever, but so basically Super Silver Haze and Neville and Mango Haze are two sisters crossed to the same dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're pretty close, but they're just different. You know, Super Silver Haze tends to be more terpenylene. Mango Haze tends to be a bit more myrcene, bit more mango style. I like the Mango Haze better as a haze. The Super Silver Haze is a crazy production plan.
Yeah.
And then I've had some Euros tell me, like Gene Finder, that there was a Super Silver Haze in Europe that was like a 14 weeker that was like their all time favorite.
Interesting.
But that one seems lost.
Oh, that sucks.
It does. But there was an outlier that was a more hazy, more, less skunk, more haze. And that one was supposedly phenomenal. But in a poly hybrid, it's going to be hard to find something, you know. Neville complained that none of his poly hybrid work was as nice as any of the F1s.
Yeah.
No matter how hard he tried, they just weren't quite as good. You know? But
sometimes
I will say
that
Neville's haze that he made, it's the most potent sativa I've ever tried in my life. And I know that cut still exists in Europe.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing.
You know what's interesting? I just thought about it. I don't think most breeders or seed makers even talk about the failures anymore.
No. Well, that's because most of Instagram and social media is marketing.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it doesn't pay to talk about your failures.
Like, do you know what, you know what the greatest cure for powdery mildew was?
What? Come?
Instagram.
Oh, you know, you're right. Yeah.
It just disappeared. Never see it. Gone. Yeah. So weird.
Yeah.
No one ever struggles with it. Right? And you know why? Yeah. Because it gets curated out.
Yep.
You're like, oh, this is a beautiful bud. And there's like one spot of, you know, of mildew on a fan leaf or your whatever. And you're just like, fuck.
I remember,
you know,
this is a little off topic, but I do remember when Swerve's Cali Connection story came out in High Times and he was so proud and he fucking took pictures of it, threw it online, and the first thing everyone sees is big old powdery mildew fucking spots all over his leaves. Yeah, we used to get grilled if you'd show up with powdery mildew on anything. So I think the internet culture kind of negated that because people would get fucking railed on.
So you want to know how I'm not big on conspiracy theories?
Yeah.
You know, but I'll tell a story that most people don't know.
What's that?
Is that the thing that sent powdery mildew into Northern California, Mendo and Humboldt, and made it forever an issue was Osama bin Laden and 9/11.
Why is that?
It's fucking crazy. So 9/11 happens, right? It's September 11th. And he crashes these airliners into the Twin Towers, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's all freaked out and they shut down airliners for 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay. But they were worried about them, Al-Qaeda, planning biological attacks on cities.
Uh-huh.
So they grounded all America's spray planes so they couldn't spray biological agents for 8 weeks. Okay. So from September 11th all the way through September, all the way through October, no spray paints could be in Marin, in Sonoma, in Napa, in Mendo. You couldn't have spray paints.
Okay.
And that's how a bunch of those places controlled powdery mildew.
Wow.
Okay. So then in the Santa Rosa paper, which is the big town in Sonoma, afterwards, you see things like Robert Mondavi and other people losing millions of dollars in grapes this year to powdery mildew.
Jesus.
And all those vineyards are all right by the highway.
Yeah.
And I shit you not, dude, in the 90s and in 2000, 2001, all the hydro stores I would go into, none of them had any powdery mildew control. None of my friends had powdery mildew. Powdery mildew was something that you got like outdoor, maybe in October, maybe a touch here and there if you got unlucky. Never saw it indoor, never, ever, ever. Not a single clone ever. Yeah. And within 2 months of 9/11 happening, every single one of my friends had it.
Yeah.
And then within a year or two, every hydro store had a whole shelf. Here's how to kill the shit. You know, there was stuff, there was biologicals like AQ10. You know, it was learning about how to kill that shit and how to get rid of it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was really bunk because it looked like in the beginning, it wasn't fucking up your weed.
Yeah.
But it really fucked up your weed.
Oh, it really fucks it up. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you think spider mites are fucking up your weed? They're not really fucking up your weed.
No, but not
powdery
like that.
Mildew, that's really, really messing with your herb. And so it took a number of years to figure out how to not transfer it, how to, you know, no one had ever dealt with it.
Yeah.
I had never seen it. Like the first 2-3 years I lived in California, 4 years maybe, I never saw a single indoor, my friends or myself, that ever had it.
Yeah.
None.
That's crazy. That's so fucking crazy.
And now it's like it, and then once it became, but then if you think about it, right? Imagine thousands of acres of grapes kicking off clouds as the highway drives by of PM that they can't treat.
Jesus Christ. And what a fucking mess.
It just got all over people's fucking tires. It got kicked in the air. It got all over the place. And then it's like, I'm not saying that that's the only reason, but it's been a problem ever since.
Yeah.
In all honesty. And then all those clones from NorCal get spread out all over.
Yeah.
And then people get PM and they don't know how to deal with it. And they don't know how to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's, you know, it's just one of those pathogens.
Yeah. It's obnoxious as fuck.
It's evil.
I was just going to run these by since we're winding down on time. I was just looking. These were in the same bag with the Cali Mist and the bubble gum and stuff. I actually was able recently to send a bunch of these back. Old Spice of Life. I have some old Legend seeds. Actually, my last pack of the Johnny Blaze that people were mentioning, I finally got to get those back in the hands of Red, who made them. So I think Red might be making some new versions of the old Legend seed stuff soon. So people that were interested in those, you might actually get to see those come back to fruition.
Legends was a good company for a while there. They had a bunch of good shit.
Yeah, Red's the shit. I like that guy a lot.
I do.
So you want to do some quick questions?
Sure. We can do questions.
All right. Any that you saw that you want to pick up on?
Oh man, now you're gonna call me out and make me remember.
Yeah.
If people are listening, ask questions right now.
Yeah. If you have a dying question that you have to ask, can you speak on the Hawaiian lights? What's plant like? How does it compare to the NL5? I'll do that real quick. I also sent Red back some Legends Ultimate Indica, Dookie. He also got the Legends Ultimate Indica for me. Hawaiian Lights is, oddly enough, it's more Afghani even than the NL5. It tends to be more broadleaf and expression. We saw some Bubba-looking types in it that weren't Bubba-smelling, but they were just the typical Bubba structure. Lots of resin production. There is some color in these. Lots of tropical terps. Lots of pineapple. Just all through the tropical range. Trying to think of what the best way to describe that is, but it's really hard. Tropical, think tropical, basically. Tropical Afghani. And that is essentially what Hawaiian Lights comes out like. Very variant, but they all are pretty much broadleaf. So yeah, that's Hawaiian Lights in a nutshell. We'll have Caleb come on and talk more about it soon. We're going to be dropping the hybrids, I believe, this weekend. I'm going to do my best. I've been packaging a bunch, trying to get through all the packages in order. So once those are done, then I'll add in the Hawaiian Lights hybrid. So keep your eyes posted on RightSeco.com and HumboldtCSI.com for both.
So there's a couple. There's a bunch of questions out.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was some stuff on leather terps, the A5, and some of the rarer haze terps definitely have some leather in them, animal and leather. I actually kind of prefer that dark profile to like the super bright, fruity, terpenylene type of thing on it. You know, there's haze lines available all over. The trouble is just pulling out what you want out of them. You know, there's leather.
Leather is also Motor Rebel's Arowana. His version of Steep Tuck's Arowana, which is very different, is very, there's a lot of leather in it. There we go. Someone else just said it too. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's some American seed companies that I won't, that are, you know, they're crossing things to Cuban Black and other haze things. There's obviously some European seed companies like Shanti Baba that have some stuff. There's a big debate on what he's lost and what he's had, but, you know, you can definitely get, it seems like the mango haze is still really good from him.
Yeah.
You know, there's smaller breeders doing smaller work on hazes. It definitely is easier to get a, well, I don't know if easier to get, but you know, there's good haze cuts out there that are starting to slip out a little bit more wide. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, people were talking about when did the first cookie pop out. That's a whole show in itself, but probably by probably like, oh, 9-ish.
Yeah,
I would say. I can't talk about, somebody mentioned the legitimacy of Scott from Rare Danks, Neville's Haze. Couldn't tell you. Just no idea. You know, Neville's Haze has been for sale for a long time. If you use Neville's Haze from Neville, couldn't tell you what era it was from. No information on that as far as that goes. But you know, there's big debates. People talk about newer releases of Shanti's stuff don't have that. People always get that way. Sometimes I wonder if it doesn't have that, or just you found it in one or two packs and then you go through five or six more packs looking for it. You don't find it.
Yeah.
Is it in there? Did you just not see it that time?
Yeah. Did the luck of the draw not pop up?
You know, because yeah. it's a super bitch to find one that you want. Purple Haze was a super famous haze from the original haze lines from America. You know, they kind of said they kind of bred it out on accident.
It was actually magenta haze on the poster, now that I think about it. Yeah.
Magenta. Yeah. You know, so the problem with haze is that it's hard to find keepers. It's rare, but there is a bunch of interest in it all of a sudden in the last 2 or 3 years. And so that's gotten some American breeders collecting cuts and making hybrids. And you can
you
find
a bunch of Johnny come lately, motherfuckers.
You know, just be prepared to hunt through some jungle weed, and you know, and don't let, you know, we should mention that if we're talking about jungle weed, there is a super famous cut of NL5 Haze A, I think, in Holland, and it's called Dr. Grinspoon.
It's called Quaze, motherfucker.
Quaze, right. Okay, whatever. Quaze, Dr. Grinspoon. I'm just going to say most people probably know it as...
One's an S, one of the other. It's not the same thing.
Okay. Anyway, Quaze. Right. So we'll call it Quaze.
Yes.
So the point I was trying to make is when you watch this thing grow, it's a million little calyxes like this fucking big. It's like the kind of thing where 99% of growers would cut that shit halfway through, right? Yeah. It produces a million little one-hitter type bong rips.
Yeah.
But the weed off, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So if you're growing haze, don't go by looks.
Yeah.
Wait until you can smoke it and see what the effect is and see what the taste is.
Yeah.
Because some of the shittiest looking weed imaginable, and I'm talking ugly, like haze is not IG photogenic.
No.
There is a lot of ugly haze, brown, shitty fucking growth, hairy looking, but then you smoke it and it tears your head off and it tastes delicious and you're happy and giggling and life is good. Yeah. So you really have to make sure, don't give up early, because that's what everybody does.
I bloomed out the Quaze, didn't keep cuts. I was like, what's this shit? And I did pollinate it, but I was like, nah.
I mean, you know, Neville even talked about like his favorite female. He blooms it out and it took 20 weeks and he thought it was the hairiest, ugliest, never finishing piece of shit ever. And he cut it down and he hung it in a corner and he killed the mom. And then a month later, he made some hash out of it. And he said it was some of the best weed he'd ever smoked in his life. And he still regretted losing it.
Yeah.
But by looks, it was the ugliest piece of shit he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't judge haze. Haze is not cookie. Haze is not photogenic. Haze, what you're going for with haze is taste and effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a gnarly, big, ugly plant. You could get some pretty ones. It's not impossible. But don't give up if it looks hideous.
Yeah. There's only a few people I've seen make pure haze look photogenic, and very, very few.
Yeah. And then on top of that, what's going to happen more often than not is that ugly piece of shit that you held on to, that you had dreams for, that was going to be it, isn't it? And then it's just an ugly piece of shit, you know? And you're like,
yeah.
Because that happened to me quite a bit too, you know? It's like I buy all this Neville's haze, and it takes me fucking forever to do it. And it's like 14, 18, whatever weeks. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to keep it.
Yeah.
God,
you know, I will say, like, I never really rocked rare dankness stuff just because the guy was a dick to me. But a lot of people do like the moonshine haze. I got to smoke it once at one of the Denver Cannabis Cups at some Mad Ball or something. I can't remember who was playing, but it was some punk rock show. And it was pretty good. Not going to lie, even as biased as I am, it was pretty good for a fucking haze. I think Reach did a good job on the moonshine.
If you limit your seeds to only people you think you like, you're really limiting your seeds in cannabis.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
You know, much so. Sometimes weirdos and assholes and whatnot, sometimes they pop out fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm, it happens. I don't even know, dude, so I'm not even dissing him. I'm just saying that, it's tough. That's what makes haze tough. It's tough to find. And so it's cool that people are trying to make like more accessible hazes, and that it's kind of gaining in popularity again, especially from some of these smaller seed companies and people trying to pump it in New York, because that'll keep it alive. You need periodic booms of interest to keep things going.
Yeah.
You know, you really,
like I said, when I was selling Pith, nobody wanted it. And now it's very in demand. I wish I would have sat on those seeds, froze them, you know, till now, but that's not how shit works. It comes in ebbs and flows.
I was joking about Rare Skunk One the other show.
Yeah.
You know, 15 years ago, you couldn't give skunk away.
No.
Couldn't. You know, a lot of the companies put free Skunk One or Skunk Haze or Skunk whatever hybrids.
Skunk One hybrids out there, yeah.
Because they just had so much, they just had so many stock and they never sold any. So you might as well make people happy and throw in four seeds. It's freebies.
Yeah. Yep.
Now people are like, well, maybe there's some secret sauce in this old Skunk One that I can find.
Yeah, the secret skunky smells.
Ooh. You know, you'd have a lot better luck hunting for something secret in haze.
Yeah.
Than you would in Skunk One.
That's for sure.
Skunk One, people have probably pushed it to its limit.
Yeah.
Haze, there's still surprises. And people asked, I should just remember because it popped into my head. People asked about the Band-Aid Haze 7.
Yes.
Because that's a cut that floats around. I will say that people I respect, like Yo Sammy in Europe and others, have told me they view that cut as equal to the old cuts that they hold.
That's pretty cool.
So it's the first haze in a long time that they feel is as good and stands right there with those old 25, 30-year-old strains that have been kept forever.
That's interesting.
And it's a lot more accessible to people.
Yeah.
In America than a lot of these other ones that I talk about. These things are, I should mention, people think I'm connected or whatever. I have been fucking hunting all of these European haze cuts since the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like the white rabbit. It was like multi-decades of looking.
Yeah.
And there's still some, like that Neville's haze cut. I want that thing so bad. I know where it is. I can't get it. You know, if it's in America, I don't know about it.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, the Band-Aid Haze 7 is an amazing cut, amazing effect. They're growing it over in Europe. They love it. It's easier to get in America than the rest of them.
Yeah.
It does take forever, you know, so be prepared to go 14 weeks or whatever. But it's a fire cut by all accounts.
Yeah.
I believe that's Cuban Black haze crossed to A5 Thai.
I believe so. Yeah. Whatever Cuban Black is.
But yeah. So whatever. So it's possible that, you know, it's a C5 cut by an A5 cut by a Thai male to provide pollen.
Maybe. Yeah.
But whatever the case may be, there's a cut. You can still buy Band-Aid Haze seeds. There's various versions of them. And there's at least this one cut that came out elite status.
Yeah.
And the people that have been running a lot of these hazes for 30 years, if they think it's as good as the rest of them, you know, that's pretty high praise from them.
Yeah, yeah. Doc D's doing a lot of work with it. He's a good dude.
So, you know, yeah, we did talk about Tom Hill just in brief, not for very long, you know, but Tom Hill did have Tom Hill Haze. And did have Tom Hill Haze by Deep Chunk and maybe some other more work around that.
Yeah.
And I believe all of his stuff descends from Positronics Haze lines.
Farmer Brown is kind of saying that you're wrong about A5 and C5 not existing. I don't know. I think he's confused.
No, they definitely exist.
Yeah.
They definitely exist. But what I'm saying is that there's various haze cuts that I know are alive in Europe, and I don't know if they're alive here.
Yeah.
There's A5 and C5 that have popped up in America, and there's a number of people that have them. There's still politics around releasing seed around it or trading it or whatever, so they're still tough. So they're alive. Some of them, some of them have the virus.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Yeah, I haven't run the SSSC hazes someone's asking about, but
we should mention them. That's a good thing to mention, because one of the things that's interesting is almost all the haze that's available is based off of Neville's work, which is a couple of males.
Yeah.
Right? Or some posi work or whatever. But Neville's seems to be the stuff that everybody found fire in.
Yeah.
And when we interviewed Carell, Carell had and it's been confirmed by friends of mine, he has a 35-plus-year-old skunk haze that he made from haze seeds given to him.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about if you were to get Carell's work and cross it to some of Neville's work is that it's not Neville's males.
Yeah.
It's another genetic of haze.
Yeah.
So it's not quite the same bottleneck whatsoever. You know, because haze doesn't like being crossed to itself. So, and it's from that same batch of seed that Neville got, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't really realize that until we talked to him.
Yeah, that was a mind blower.
But his SSSC hybrids off that skunk haze should be a completely different haze that's been available up until recently.
Yeah.
But from the same seeds, from the same era.
I'm going to be really excited with some new outdoor space to finally run some of my haze collection and other shit. Stoked. Finally get to pop the SSSC stuff because I've really wanted to.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could try to, you know, at the end of it, I could try to name, you know, there's dog shit and the cough. We haven't talked about the Colorado cough.
No, didn't talk about the cough.
The cough is another.
I think we did an NL5 haze episode, though.
Yeah, you know, so there's cough, there's dog shit, there's Cuban black,
Dutch treat,
sweet skunk from Canada has a bunch of NL5 haze in it, or is it, you know, at least in its original form. So there's a bunch of American cuts that float around. There's 8 or 10 Dutch cuts that float around. I don't know what that all adds up to. But what's great is that it seems like from a line that was available in the 90s. There's the stew, which is one that I don't actually, somebody mentioned that. I don't even know that. I know of the stew. The stew is another old NL5 haze from the East Coast. I've never actually grown it. It's been one of those rumors that I hear about.
Okay.
I've heard stories of the stew. I've talked to people that I trust that have talked about the stew. I've never seen the stew.
Is it kind of like Disco Stew in The Simpsons, where like the D rubbed off his jacket? So it was the stud and
the
then
stew. Tad got, I almost want to say, and people might get me wrong, but it's like, it's, the stew might be from Jersey or close somewhere in that New York region.
Okay.
And it's old, but I don't know anything about it, but it is another supposed NL5 haze cut. And Island Sweet Skunk is a little different than Sweet Skunk. And then Mark Emery did this thing, you know, that confused the lineage of it. But as far as we can tell, there is a real Sweet Skunk that was basically mostly NL5 haze.
Yeah.
And it got cropped. Did Steve, cross it to like grapefruit or something, or
yeah, I don't know what it was crossed to.
So, you know, anyway, it's cool in the sense that there's a bunch of different phenos,
yeah,
that have survived, you know, all females, obviously. We don't have any, you know, people are asking me, where could you get real NL5 haze male pollen? And yeah. I think that might be lost to time.
Yeah. We have one of our buddies, Kim Blackburn, is a part of the Koff crew. So we have people closer to the Koff that know the history of it real well. So I'll probably bring him on at some point, working man, to talk about it. He's a Koff fanatic.
Yeah. And he knows the story pretty well. I mean, there's some still confusion about it. There was Koff 1 and there was Koff 2 in Colorado.
Yeah.
I used to smoke the Koff in the 90s. I had really good friends of mine I grew up with that ended up moving out to Boulder in the mid 90s. And I used to go out there all the time. And that's where I smoked that sandalwood tasting AK-47.
Yeah.
And some of those other famous 90s Colorado strains. But the Koff exists. The New York stuff exists. Strawberry Koff is much different. I don't know the origins of strawberry Koff.
I know what Cushman says. I know that it is exactly like Erg beer in its terps and has a lot of the similar traits to it.
I like
it. So it's strawberry filled haze for whatever that's worth.
The Koff basically like got famous in Fort Collins, but I think it came from Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I don't want to misspeak, but our buddy Working Man knows like the people involved and like the people that brought it to Colorado from there and all that different types of stuff.
Yeah.
So it definitely is, you know, yeah, you never know. The dog shit I really wish still had its original name. Its original name is right up there with Western Winds, is one of my favorites. The dog shit in Minneapolis was called Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. You know what sucks is like, I was doing the labels for the dog shit cross to the Hawaiian Lights, and I was like, I just wanted to put Electric Boogaloo, but I know most people won't even associate that with the dog shit cut, and they'll just sit there, you know?
Yeah, you know, it'll just sit there. But Electric Boogaloo is one of the all-time great names.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it.
Someone was asking about, you know, Deep South Strawberry Koff belonged to. Farms.
The Koff is super well known.
It's actually Afgooey Deep Chunk.
We still have good friends that grow the Koff that we talk to all the time. So luckily the Koff is alive and well. You know, there's haze in Florida that got shipped to New York. You know, crews of Cubans down there. There's crews of Cubans and Dominicans in New York that run it. Haze heads.
Cabin fever, that's totally incorrect. It was what I was just talking about. It's not fucking Mad Farmer. He had nothing to do with that cut. It was a cut out of Blue Sky Cafe originally, and it was made by Lion Something Farms. You can still find the info on IC Mag way back when he made it, long before Mad Farmer came to this. And it's an Afgooey cross Deep Chunk. It is not Strawberry Koff Deep Chunk. So it was just relabeled by Blue Sky. There we go.
Sorry. But one of the things I should say about one of the things that draws people to haze is that we live in an indica dominated. It's like the exact opposite of the 70s and 80s where sativa ruled the game.
Yeah.
We live in an indica and indica dominant scene.
Yeah.
And haze is a tie back to that ancient, you know, no longer available import. And it seems like it gives people a better high in a different way. It has a different high profile. It hits people. And even if people are extremely used to and experienced with smoking chems or, you know, OGs or whatever, you can smoke some haze and have it hit you like a brick. So even though it's ugly and takes a long time and has these various issues, it's popular for my favorite reason for weed to be popular. Because it works
good.
Yeah.
Effect.
It works good. You know? So that's the best reason to like weed. It's weed that works. Yeah. Weed that works. You know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. We're at 103 minutes. So I think we are good for this session.
We are good for the session. So, I mean, once again, everyone, thank you for giving us like your Friday night to listen to me ramble. And, you know, and whatnot, and Matt, and shoot the shit, and you know, you can reach out to us on our Discord, on our Speakeasy Discord. You can reach out to us on our IG pages. The Discord's easier. We always are down to chat.
Breeders Syndicate Discord. The Speakeasy Discord's a different one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, I misspeak. Well, I should let you do the – I'm so bad at any kind of promotion.
But... I know. I appreciated it. I was watching. I was letting you roll.
But, yeah, so the Breeders Syndicate Discord, we post on there quite a bit. We answer questions all the time. We're always down for people to give us ideas of – it's all about, like, what you guys want to hear about. We're trying all the time to like bring people history and make it modern and tie it into what they know and expand people's knowledge and stuff like that. So once again, into it, you know, you can search for Breeder Syndicate on Google, right?
Breeder Syndicate Patreon.
Breeder Syndicate Patreon. See, I
You're part, almost there. I'm impressed.
Almost there. I'm almost there. But anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be there. We'll be here next week. I'll see you soon.
Hawaiian Lights Hybrids coming soon, right? Seedco.com. If you're a Patreon member, you'll get first access to them, and they're way cheaper for you. So, cheers!
Cheers!
Thanks, Nonso.
Peace.
Want more Breeder Syndicate? Be sure to check out our Patreon by going to Google and searching Breeder Syndicate Patreon. We have a secret Discord where we are available at most times and interact daily. There are a lot of perks to be had there, so check it out. Need seeds? Check out RiotSeeds.com, where you can get our seeds and our reversal spray for making your own feminized seeds.